This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, if you have your message notes, you would take those out of the app. If you have your Bibles, we're in John chapter 17. Might want to go ahead and turn there and be ready. This is the last in our series that we're calling Life on Mission, just being ready, being equipped, being just prepared to maybe see a life change for all eternity, and that's a huge, huge thing. Friday and Saturday, Stacy and I went up to Richmond area. We went to a retreat for a board that I'm on. It's a church planning organization called Waypoint, and Waypoint, I've been on the board for the last 3 years, and once a year we do a retreat where we get away and just talk about what God's doing, talk about how we can help reach more people for Christ, how start more churches, and on Friday night, they brought in a guest speaker. We were sitting in a beautiful chapel at this place that we went to, and the speaker got up. He was a younger man in his probably late 20s, early 30s, and he started with a question, and this was his question. He said, would it be worth it for just one person? Would it be worth it for just one person? Would it be worth it for just one family? And then he told a story about a family of three children. They had two middle school, high school age kids, and then one in elementary. Two parents that were barely making ends meet. The dad was a contractor. Mom had an in-home daycare. They didn't have much of anything at all. They had a hard time putting food on the table. And they heard about a church that was having a party, like a community fair kind of thing, and there was going to be free hot dogs. And if they went before 11 or around 11, they could have both lunch and dinner for free. They said that sounded good. And so they went to this church, and they did all the fun things, the bounce houses and everything, and then they did the hot dog dinner for lunch and for dinner. And then at the end of the day, they had to leave because one of the children hit their head in the bounce house and caused some bleeding. They had to go. But one of the church people just said, hey, we hope that you're all right. Insurance will cover this. We hope that you come back. The next Sunday, the next day, the parents said to the kids, do you want to go to church? They had never said this before. They had never been to a church before. They didn't know what to expect. And the kids said, sure, we're going to that same church. So they went to that church that next day. And it was a different kind of church, kind of like Bridges, especially when we were more mobile. But this is a mobile church. And they went there, and for the first time, they heard someone teach about Jesus. They sang songs they had never heard before. And they decided this was what they were going to start doing with their life, start going to church. And they grew up in this church, and they gave their lives to Jesus. And that question came back, would it be worth it for just one person? Would it be worth it for just one family? And then the speaker, as you probably have figured out, pointed out that he was that kid who was in middle school that hit his head and caused the bleeding and had decided to come back to church with his family. And now he's a church planter up in Maryland, and they're reaching about 400 people every Sunday. And most of the people they're reaching are people that were far from God before they had ever gone to church. And so this is a kind of church which is you can go where you can just be yourself. He said his family had never been accepted anywhere, but they were accepted at church. They had never felt welcome anywhere, but they felt welcome in this place. And because of one family, because of one person making an invitation, this whole family's life was changed, and a whole new church was birthed, and more lives are being changed. Would it be worth it to you if it was just one person? If God said to you, I'm going to use you, you're going to put in time, you're going to get trained, I'm going to share with you the gospel, you're going to have your life changed, and in your lifetime, there's going to be one person that has their eternal destiny changed because you said something to them. You emailed them, you invited them, you shared your story, you did something. Would it be worth it? Wouldn't that be amazing? What if God did that? What if one of your children comes to Christ because of something you said, something you did? What if a grandchild? What if a friend? What if a neighbor? What if a coworker for all eternity would point to you and say, that's the one that God used? Wouldn't that be amazing to do that? That's what this series is about. It's really about saying, God, I want to be used by you, even if it's only one person. That's huge because it changed their world forever. Today, I want to start looking at John chapter 17, if you're there, verse 13. I don't know if you knew this, but Jesus has a couple of prayers that are just recorded. I think John must have heard this prayer and said, this is the most amazing prayer. I've got to write it down. It was at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He was praying to his Father. Remember, Jesus would look up to pray. He would look up into heaven. It's their last night together. And he basically says to everyone in the prayer, he's talking to his Father, but they're all listening. And he says, my time's up. My time's up. I've accomplished everything I'm going to do now. The only thing left is the cross and the resurrection. But everything's wrapping up. And so he prayed this prayer. And we're going to start at verse 13. I want you to see what Jesus prayed. And I want you to kind of listen. And I want you to understand something. That this morning you are part of the answer to this prayer. You are part of the answer to Jesus' prayer that we're about to read. Verse 13. Jesus speaking to his Father, but now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's talking about his followers. He says, I want them to have joy, okay? This is not a somber time. This is not a time to be afraid. This is a time of joy. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. We're different now. We decide to follow Jesus, we're different people. We act differently, we think differently, we move differently, we have different priorities. He says, we're no longer of this world. And then he prays this. I think it's such an interesting prayer. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. Do you ever think about that? Once you're baptized, God can just take you out. Once you've given your life to Christ, you're just gone. But he left you here for a purpose. You are here for something beyond yourselves. He says, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Protect them while they're here on mission. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify, which means set apart them in the truth. Your word is truth. And then he talks about mission. He says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, okay? So Jesus came from heaven, the perfect place. He came to an imperfect world. He lived a perfect life. He died for us. He rose again. But he said, this is how I was sent. Now I'm going to send them too. I came from my house, my home, to this place, and I'm going to send them out with a message on mission. And next verse, for their sake, I consecrate myself. I'm dedicating myself to this, that they also may be sanctified in truth. And this is where he prays for us. I do not ask for these only, meaning the people in the room, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, which is every one of us. Do you ever think about that? Jesus prayed for you. The disciples told someone else, and they told someone else, and they told someone else, and 2,000 years later, someone told you. And if you're a Christ follower, you made a decision one day, and you said, I want to follow this Jesus. And Jesus is praying for you. And I think that's an amazing thing. He knew who you were going to be. And he said, I pray for them that they will believe, those who believe. And then he wraps this part up in verse 21, that they may be all be one, just as you, Father, and me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. His prayer was for them to be one, to be united, to be together. And this is the thing, he says, when you're one, just like my Father and I are one, then people will believe when they see that together. Now, how is Jesus and the Father one? Well, they think the same. They have the same motives, they have the same drive, they have the same love, they have the same mission. And he says, I want you to be that way. I want you to be a community that's so unified, so together, so on purpose, so on mission, that people go, God must be there. Because they don't think of themselves. They're constantly thinking of me and the mission. You know, people talk about community all the time, and community means different things to different people. You may live in a community where you have to pay HOA fees, right? Maybe you're there, and the only reason that you call it a community because you live there, right? But you don't do anything with the people. That's just your neighborhood. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a community that's wrapped together in his love, that's together and on mission, on purpose. We are here together to be on mission. I don't know if you've ever seen a church or been around a church that's so focused inward, they're just bitter people. Us four and no more. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. We're just so happy to be together. We don't really want anybody else. At this retreat that we went to, they talked about a church where they had like the choir area, and they had what I never heard this term before. It's modesty rail. Have you ever heard of a modesty rail? It's up about 2 feet off the ground, so I guess when people sit down, and the praise band needed to move it a few inches. And a lady said, you will not make a change in this church till I die. She says, I don't care about other people, basically, but you're not going to change the modesty rail a few inches. And basically, they were saying that church was on its way to death because they were so inwardly focused about the things that don't matter, they'd completely forgotten that Jesus said, I want you to be one. I want you to be unified. I want you to be on mission. I want you to be with me. Jesus prayed that we would be one. In the early church, they wrestled with this a little bit. They had a hard time with it. There were some places that just kind of weren't quite one. In one church, in the church of Corinth, they were kind of arguing about different things. Like one guy was saying, I follow this guy. And another person was saying, I follow that guy. I follow Paul. I follow this guy, Apollos. And Paul had to write them in the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he said, this is what you should be doing. He said this, Paul planted the church. A guy named Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages according to his labor. Great passage. So this is the deal. Some of us are going to plant, some of us are going to water, but we're going to work together, and God's going to cause the growth, and when we work together, we're one. So what does that mean? That means those of you that are greeters, awesome job. You're creating a church where people feel welcome. We're one when you do that. We have people over in the children's area. They are one with us because they're teaching children how to follow Jesus. Those are out in the parking lot. We're one because you're making this a place where people feel welcome for the very moment. Hospitality certainly makes us feel one, don't they? With all the great food, this is a great place to come and to be there. The band, all the people that do tech, everyone that contributes to the facilities, to the grounds, we're all working together on mission. And when we do that, we're one. And really, that's what this is about, right? To be a church that's one, working together for a life on mission. Today, I want to do this very briefly. I want to talk about our hearts. I want to talk about our hearts and why our hearts are so important to living this life on mission. Because it's not about doing this just to grow a big church or any selfish vision. There are certain things we have to have in our hearts. There's three things that I want to point out that we need to have this in our life, three motivations. Number one, we live on mission because of love. Make sure that we understand that. We live on mission because of love. This is not something we check off on a box. It's not an agenda. It's not an obligation. This is not something we're doing because God's going to punish us. It's because of love. Our love for God and our love for people. When we truly love God, we want to love the people God loves. When we love people, we really see them for who they are. That's why we talked about building relationships. That's why we talked about listening. That's why we talked about praying. We talked about asking questions. It's about being brave enough to cross the line sometime and say, let me tell you about my story and what God has done in my life. It's all because of love. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, we used this verse a few weeks ago. I want to go back to it. For the love of Christ controls us. Christ's love for us and our love for him is what drives us. It's all about love. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, Jesus died for us all, therefore all that follow him have died. And he died for all that those who might live no longer live for themselves, so we're not living for ourselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So when we gave our life to Jesus, we basically said, you call it now. You tell us what you want us to do. You give us our marching orders. What do you want us to do? And he says, I just want you to love people. And when you love people, you want them to have what you love. Does it make sense? When you love people, you go, I want them to know what I love. And that's huge. So the first motivation needs to be love. The second, we live on mission because Jesus meets our greatest needs. He meets our greatest needs. If he meets our needs, he's going to meet everybody else's needs, right? What do we need as a human being? Now, there's a difference between need and want, right? There's a difference between needs and wants. There's a huge difference. But what do you need as a human being? Need companionship. What does Jesus call us? He calls us friends. We need peace in the midst of worry and anxiety. He is the Prince of Peace. We need someone that can deal with our guilt, and Jesus offers forgiveness. We need someone to really listen to us, and he offers us prayer. We need someone to say to us, you don't have to feel guilt anymore, and he offers us everything that we need. And we need someone to say, you are saved, because we can't save ourselves. We need salvation, and he comes as our Savior. He meets all of our needs. And that's huge. And because we realize he's met our needs, we want other people to be able to say the same exact thing. There's a defining story in my life. I've told this story before. I love this story. It's by a guy named Bob Roberts, and he is a pastor down in Texas. And he wrote in a book his story of how he started a church and it grew like crazy and people were coming and they were finding Christ. And people were coming to him saying, how are you doing it? What's going on? Give us the secret sauce. What are you doing to reach people? And he began to plan, go to these seminars and share everything. And his church bought a strip mall kind of thing and converted that. And as soon as they did, their attendance started to drop. And started to drop, and started to drop. And he had to go preach or teach at this conference where he had to say, this is how you grow a church, when everything was declining. And he really got kind of depressed because he didn't see God's work anymore. And he lived in Texas, so he went out into this field, and he began to pray, God, what's wrong? What's going on? And he sensed God saying this to him. And this is what he sensed God saying. When will Jesus be enough? When will Jesus be enough? And I think it's when we get to that point that we go, okay, am I satisfied just with Jesus? If we were to strip everything else away, take away our houses or our cars, all these things, if we could just say, Jesus is still enough, because in Jesus, I have all my needs met. When we get to that point, we realize how precious he is to us, and that's what we want to share with other people. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the whirlwind of life, right? We get so busy doing everything that we forget about that. When will Jesus be enough? Philippians 4:19, Paul is writing, he says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Is that how you see him? Is that how you know him? He's met every need in your life. When you're ready to be on mission, there's just one question you have to answer. And this is the question. What difference has Jesus made in your life? If you can tell somebody the answer to that, that's everything. That's what we're doing in our small groups. We're just asking that question. What difference has Jesus made in my life? And here's the deal. We can just simply say this. He saved me. He died for me. That's the biggest thing. And if you can share that with someone else, you're just pointing them to Jesus, then you're ready to be on mission. If you can do that, that's everything. What difference has Jesus made in your life? He is everything to me. And that leads to the third motivation, the last one. We live on mission because our relationship with God is our greatest treasure. It's our greatest treasure. Now, when you think about it, we can talk about what Jesus did for us, and we get focused on that, and that's great, but then we move into a whole new area where we're going, it's not just what he did for me, it's who he is. It's who he is. We just love Jesus. And when we're in that part of life, then it just comes out of us that we want to be on mission because we want to share what we love. You ever gone on Facebook and someone's taken a picture of a restaurant where they are and there's a picture of food on a plate? Have you ever seen this before? It's like all the time, right? And people are just going, I love this restaurant. I love this place. Here's the food I'm about to eat. Sometimes they show you what the food they already ate. You know, it's like part of it. But people share this all the time. Why? Because they love the food, and they want to show you that they love the food, and they want you to be able to go there too. How much greater is the God of the universe who loves us? What if we could take a picture of God? Here's the God I love, and put him on Facebook and go, I want you to know the God I've experienced. And I want you to experience him in the way that I've experienced him. Because when we understand that that's our greatest treasure, everything falls apart. Matthew 13:44, Jesus is explaining this. He says, the kingdom of heaven, that's where we have a relationship with God, is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells what? All that he has, and he buys the field. He goes, I want that relationship. It's worth everything. I think for me, because I've been a Christ follower for such a long time, I tried to do something the other day, and I go, what if you pulled God out of my life? Because sometimes I get so used to him being there, I don't think about it. I thought the other day, what if you pulled God out of my life? What would I be like? What would my life be without him? What if I couldn't pray? What if I didn't have any hope in my life? I've heard it said that you can last 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but you can't last a moment without hope. And I thought if you pulled God out of my life today, and I didn't know him, I don't know where I would be without him, because he is my hope and he is my life. And when I think about life like that, I go, man, I want other people to know that, because it must be tough for them to go through life without answers that really satisfy. Jesus makes all the difference in our life, and it's something we want to do. And if, what if you could just simply help someone know Jesus by building a relationship, getting to know them, listening to them, sharing your story, and then seeing them come to Christ? I want you to hear a story today. I'm going to ask Doug to come up. I don't know if you guys know Doug. Doug is a great guy. He's an instructor at Reagan High School. He is in the junior ROTC program. Well, it's a switch here. You go ahead and take that one. And I've gotten to know him over the last 3 years, I think, 4 years, with our son Ethan was in ROTC and got to know, and sometimes I call him Chief. So that's his, that's what they, the boys call him. So he's either Chief or Doug, and then if I mess up really bad, he's Chief Doug. And so he told us a story, and I knew the people in it, and it's just a powerful story about how he was able to help someone. So I just want you to share that story.
Well, first of all, I appreciate it, and it's great to have a pastor that puts God first. So thanks for that. We're in a men's group this summer, well, for about a year, and we were meeting, and we're going through some stuff, and I began to share a story, and I was like, you know, my daughter kept coming to me and says, you got to talk to my boyfriend. He's on this thing where he needs to be tested. He's got to be tested. He's feeling like he hasn't struggled in life. I'm like, well, what do you mean? She goes, I don't know. You need to talk to him. So talking about praying at Dario, we went to Dario, and we're talking. I said, Sam, tell me about this thing you want to experience. He goes, well, you know, I've had a really great life, and I just feel like I need to be tested. I need some strife in my life. I need, you know, I haven't really had to work through something. I said, so you're missing something, right? He goes, yeah, I just got this feeling that, you know, there's more out there, and I need to experience, and I need to grow as a man. And he said, you know, I want to be like you. He goes, you know, you got things together. And I said, well, what I think you're missing is a relationship. And he looks at me, and he's thinking that, you know, he's like, yeah, me and you. And I'm like, no, I said, I think you're missing a relationship with God. And he just looks at me. I said, you know, he's got all the answers that you're searching for. And you see this light come on. He doesn't speak. He doesn't say anything. He asked my daughter to move. He stands up and he opens his arms. And I stood up in the middle of Dario and I hugged him. And I said, son, you know, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody to help you answer the questions of why. And I said, he's the ultimate answer. And, you know, he just stood there and held me for a few minutes in Dario, hugging. And so I had never led anybody to Christ. I'd done a lot of things in my life, but that had not been one of them. And I was scared. So I reached out to Patrick, and I was like, hey, well, first I asked him, I said, hey, do you mind if Patrick, if the pastor leads you to Christ? And he looked me dead in the eye and says, I want it to be you. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks, God. So then I talked to my sister, which is kind of, she led me to church when I was real little. And I talked to Patrick, and he goes, just share your story and share these things about God dying for our sins. And he went through a few things. And, you know, I delayed it for a few days, and God convicted me. He says, something happens to this young man before you lead him to Christ. You'll never, you know. And so he came to me that day when I prayed about it in the morning at school, and he goes, are we going to do the thing? I said, you're coming to my house after school today. And he came to my house, and in my backyard on the patio furniture, he accepted Christ. And, you know, I didn't, you know, if he's my one, that's it. That's worth it. And his birthday was coming up. I presented him a Bible. And I told him he would find his answers in that Bible. And my daughter said at his birthday dinner, they went out, and he's sitting with his stepdad and mom, and they're getting ready to eat. He goes, wait, we have to pray. And my daughter came home, and she goes, he has never done that before. So, you know, I was feeling bad about maybe not getting to the Bible study, and Patrick's like, Chief, that's what you were supposed to do right there. So I thank you. And if he's my one, like I said, that's great. And if I can lead others, it'd be a true blessing. So thank you.
Thank you. Let's give him a hand. Good job. That's an awesome story. I love that story because I listen to that story and go, you know, with some courage, every one of us could do that. And I thought for a lot of us, what happens is somebody will come, I haven't struggled in life, I haven't gotten into problems or whatever, and we'll give them a kind of an answer, like, well, you can go join the military, or you can get a job, or I'll make your life suffer, you know, or something. We'll give them some sort of advice. And what I love what he did is you need a relationship with Jesus. I mean, at that point, that's crossing a line, right? That takes courage. It's like, let's introduce Jesus into this conversation, and that's all it takes, because we read a verse where it said God brings the growth, right? God caused it to happen. Chief is the one that God used to do that, but Sam was ready because God was touching his heart. And the question to every one of us is, what if that's you? What if God did that with you? What if God put someone on your heart and put you in Dario? And all you do is share your story and let me tell you about Jesus. And what if God used you to share that answer? And this is how, and this is what. And you know the answers. And then you know that God used you to change a life. That's just huge. That's huge. When we wrap this series up, it's been so exciting to work through it. And I just want us to live with expectation in life that if you're willing, if we're willing to just say, God, use me, God will use us. God will use us. You know, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people that came to Christ that day. And the reason they came to Christ is because they heard the message of the cross. They heard that Jesus had come and that their sins had put him on the cross and that he had died for them. And when they heard this, they were kind of cut to the core. And they said, what are we supposed to do now? And Peter explained to them what they're supposed to do now and to believe. But then he says in Acts 2:38, I think we have this verse, it says, and he said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when you lead someone and they're ready, you just go, let's pray. And they go, what's next? Let's be baptized. Let's take that step to say publicly that we are now aligned with Jesus. He is now our priority. We are dying to our old self, which is what baptism is all about, and we're being raised to a new life just like Jesus was, and that's the next step. And one of the cool things that we're doing is, if you notice, there's no baptistry here. In our existence, we've always baptized different places, and so we are able to, over the last couple of weeks, or actually last month, we got a gift, of a large gift given to the church. And we're going to put a lot of it in savings, but one of the things we were able to buy was a baptistry, a portable baptistry that we'll bring in on Easter. So on Easter Sunday, if you haven't taken that step, or if you know someone that needs to, maybe this is your chance. And after the services on Easter, we're going to do it right here in front of everybody, because we want to party. You know, when the heavens party is when someone gives their life to Jesus. And wouldn't it be cool if you got to do that? I mean, one of the greatest privileges I've ever had as a pastor is baptizing people. A jacuzzi, an ocean, a YMCA pool in baptistries, it's one of the greatest things. And here's the deal at Bridges. If you lead someone to Christ, you baptize them. I mean, if you really don't want to, we'll do it for you. But I'm going to encourage you to do it, because God used you to do that. And you're going to have that experience. And I'm so excited about that. And I'm looking forward to not just this time at Easter, but for the rest of our life as a church, we'll be able to celebrate people giving their life to Christ. And we'll celebrate together to do that. I want to close with a couple of things. One is the Great Commission. This is why we do what we do. Matthew 28, Jesus told his followers, he says, look, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go. Next verse. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I will be with you when you do this. I'm going to go with you. It's going to be me working. You're just partnering with me. We're going to go through this together, and you're going to see the world changed when you live your life on mission. As we close up this day and as this series ends, I want to lead you with a pledge. This is what I want you to live with. I'm going to read it, and then I want you to think about it. And then if you're willing, I want you to say it with me. This is the pledge as a church. I'm going to read it first. Jesus, I commit my life to being on mission with you. You died for me. I want to live for you and see others come to know you. I pray for the salvation of my family, friends, and all those who do not yet know you. Thank you for my salvation. May your will be done in my life. That's a pledge saying, God, use me. You're not going to make it happen. You're not going to be in charge of bringing people to Jesus. You're going to simply be going, Jesus, when there's someone that you want me to talk to, I'm ready to do it. I'm inadequate. I don't know exactly what I need to say, just like Doug. But God brought him the words to say. He put the right people, and he was able to do it. And you can do the same thing. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read this again. If you want to join this pledge, just read it with me, that we're going to pledge ourselves as a church to be on mission with Jesus. Let's read this. Jesus, I commit my life to being on mission with you. You died for me. I want to live for you. I pray for the salvation and see others come to me. This is why you don't want me to read. Okay, let me do that again. I want to live for you and see others come to know you. I pray for the salvation of my family, friends, and all those who do not yet know you. Thank you for my salvation. May your will be done in my life. Amen. What an exciting thing. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks. I don't know who God's going to bring forward, but I'm just trusting him to work. I know I can't do it, but I know he can. And I want to pray for us now and just pray as a church that God will take this and use this for his glory. Let's pray. Father God, Jesus prayed for your glory, for people to see you. And that's what we really want. We want people to see you at work. I pray that with all my heart. We want to see people come to know you. We want to see lives changed and transformed. We want to be used by you so people can know you and find hope and find joy and find peace and find rest, to find healing, to see marriages that are broken healed, to see people that are lost to be found. We thank you for Sam. We thank you for others just like him that you've brought into your kingdom. And we want to see more of that, Father God. We dedicate ourselves to that. And today, Father, if there's anyone here that needs to take that step, I pray for them too as you work in their hearts. And I pray for anyone that needs to take that next step of faith, of baptism, that maybe this Easter is the time they want to do that. So, Father, use us as a church. We belong to you. We want to be on mission with you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.